It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Welcome everybody. Jake, Rural Matters right here in Salem, Center Willamette Valley, the capital of this state. 1430 AM KYKN. I hope your Friday is glorious. And we're in back half, or I should say middle of the back half of the month of February, and the year is not slowing down. Maybe it's because we're all so busy. I hope you're having a great Friday, enjoying the weather. This is typical Oregon coming at us all through February so far. With me today, I'm excited. I always like to bring on a new guest that brings a new twist to things and even and carries the Rural Matters kind of banner, if you will. Margo Alexander, it's a pleasure to have you on. You have been in the media for over 30 years, and we're going to talk about that. But I guess I want to, before we get into that, Margo, I was looking at your bio that you sent me, and you went to Chemeketa and you studied basically natural resources and environmental stuff, and you wind up in the media. What was your goal as a young adult, young person, to do that and then to kind of transition big time?
Well, I started out in media and, you know, enjoyed doing that at the work at the weekly newspaper, the Itemizer over in Dallas, Oregon. Worked there for a good decade. You know, not to age myself too much, I was about 13, 14 when I was working after school, you know. But I had such a desire to be in the forest and learn more about the forest. And I thought, well, I'm gonna go to school and change my career and go on this adventure, and man, I did not do well. I did not
really.
I did not do well in school. I just did not. I couldn't retain the information. I didn't have the attention span, and it was so tough to break into that industry. And my desire to work with people and be in media and do those things was just really superseded what I was doing. So I went back into media. So that was just a kind of a brief break and just started exploring, you know, what I could do for local businesses and how I could bust into that a little bit further and make more of a career out of it.
So for those who don't know, you do live out in the woods. You're in Petey. You can't get more woods than that as far as being out here, you know, west of Salem and stuff like that. And you're living out in Petey, but, you know, you were originally born in Nashville, Tennessee. You've mm-hmm. gone from, were you actually in Tennessee or were you more in Franklin or where were you at?
It was Laverne, Smyrna.
Right.
And Lebanon area. Yeah, that's about where we were, but my parents were musicians, so we went into Nashville a lot. I sat back, you know.
You probably had a lot of fun. How long were you in Nashville before you went to Oregon?
I think I turned 11 that summer.
So you remember quite well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever go back?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You should.
I went back and found everybody from grade school, and some people just happened to be in town. So I actually got to go and experience Nash Vegas, as they called it. And what an incredible experience to just be able to. I started at one end and got a drink and walked down the street and just would listen until I found something interesting that struck me. And I'd go in there and sit for a little bit and hear them. And, you know, just I really hit everything down there. It was amazing.
Yeah, for those who have never been, and I've been twice, mm-hmm. and it is music everywhere.
Oh, man.
And it's very lively, very fun, and yet not overwhelming. I mean,
no,
it's not an overwhelming city for what it is and no. for the notoriety that it rightfully has. And I find the Nashville, Chattanooga, and that area. And for those, I might as well throw this out, my bucket list would be one day to go to Memphis and then go to Graceland and go see Elvis Presley's house. I can't help it. All right, you know, we're going to get into it now. You've had 3 decades. In mm-hmm. the media, yep. you've done TV, you've done print, you've done all kinds of things for mm-hmm. almost 30 years.
Yep.
Why don't you explain how you got into that? Because I want you to talk about how it's changed, what you see happening, and where it's gone as far yep. as your experience has been. Feel free. We've got a bunch of time right here, Margo.
Sure. So, you know, my mom worked at the newspaper and worked her way up from I think they call it creative services now, but it used to be called composition. And she worked her way up to ad director. And, you know, so I'd come in there after school and help out. And then just moved my way into account executive and found that it was very easy for me to go in and talk to people. And I remember when the internet came out, I was also 19 when we got internet at work anyway. And that was fascinating. I remember going to a conference and big Oregon newspaper conference and had this gal talking about how there was going to be these things called banner ads on websites and how big they were going to take off. And I was at the edge of my seat. Everybody around me, old school newspaper, was like, man, this is never going to take off. And boy, it did. And you know, I watched, you know, when we used to, again, call it electronic media, when I busted it out of print and into television and radio, and just found that incredibly fascinating. And then I went into digital and, you know, I just watched it transform and how quickly the trends would change. I know at one point I had a child. I wanted to stay home for a little bit. But I was missing out, so I had to like freelance or something to keep my foot in the industry. It was just changing so fast, and I remember the first go-to meeting, and that's pre-Zoom, but that first conference calls and things like that. That was just so profound. Oh wow, I can talk to somebody and have this meeting with someone in Seattle and someone in Manhattan Beach, California, and work on all this advertising for this auto dealership. It was just so profound, and I embraced it. I dug in and digital strategy and how are you going to reach the right customer and pay per click and how to really get that lead conversion down. And we were given all these tools to just stay connected. I was walking around with two cell phones, an iPad, a laptop, going in and presenting in all these different scenarios. And then, going into leadership and running teams and then running remote teams where my crew is in every time zone. It was so wonderful. And then, the pandemic hit, and thank goodness we had all these things in place because business still could go on. But I found recently that we didn't get away from that, and we just became more attached to technology. And if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. And the handshake, the face-to-face, the getting in front of someone and building that trust has just disappeared. And I think that, sitting in an office and feeling like you talk to people all day, because you did, is very different than getting out there and being face to face and understanding if it's going to be a good partnership and feeling that vibe and that trust. I think the business community is really starving for more of a sense of community to be presented as a part of your neighborhood and really have that local feel, and not come across as a solicitor. I mean, everybody's got reviews now. We've got all these sites set up to check our clout score, and boy, that can dive real quick by someone, saying that your sandwiches are horrible and right, bringing your score down. And you can be creative at, put a sign out front that says home of the worst sandwich in Salem. I've seen some really funny things done. You can overcome that. But, I think, especially now, I think it's time to get back to the handshake, to the face-to-face, to the coming in and meeting someone and sitting down with them and having a piece of paper and sharing your ideas, let's get back to it.
So it's been a bit, when you talk about the pandemic and how it affected young people mm-hmm. in schools, and how it robbed a junior or senior in high school that would have been the opportunity to do the prom, mm-hmm. whatever, homecoming games, all of that stuff. It's had an adverse effect. There are no question about it. We are created, from the beginning of time, where God created man, and he said, can't be alone. Let's bring on mm-hmm. Eve, and let's we are social people, and right. It's fun. And I will admit that I'm probably the least likely person to want to be a Zoom person. Done it, mm-hmm. but I enjoy the face to face. Let's talk about in the next minute and a half or so some of the highlights of what you've done in the TV world. Talk about that a little bit. Your roles there, was it all advertising, or were you actually on TV itself? And maybe tell us where.
Yeah, I worked. It was Fox 49 at the time. It's Fox 12 now. Advertising, sales, sure. But I really got to be a part of the production. So I was new business and local business. And so I'd go out there and I really had to hold their hand through it. You know, they were up against, you know, Buick commercials and things like that. So this local car detailer place, you know, I had to bring, I actually used my own car in one of the commercials. And, you know, the whole entire production process to me was what was the most exciting. Television is a very glamorous, you know, especially coming from a weekly newspaper to television. It was very glamorous. And my goodness, I loved that.
Yeah, and you were able to, you know, maintain and stay active doing that. Talking with Margo Alexander, Margo, and we're going to talk about the magazine. We're going to get into that in a little bit. We want to give build your base a little bit, Margo. Enjoying this visit, Margo. You know, and you've had a lot of time. You know, next 10 seconds. Differences between say radio and TV, and we'll take it over on the next side.
Radio and TV. Well, you know, it's obviously the imagery. It's going to be a far different way to get that message across. So, but you know, every media has its ups and downs and its purposes. You just got to find the right fit and the right customer.
Sounds good. Jake Real Matters, Margo Alexander. Be back next round right after this.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Real Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters. Can't believe it, man. Another Friday. We're just rolling. I hope that you're going to have a great weekend, and this program's part of it to kick it off for you. And just enjoying being here. It's an amazing time right now in this country, in this state, in this city. So much going on. Margo Alexander, you live out in Petey, you know, woods, and you love trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, originally born in Nashville, Tennessee, musical and stuff like that. And what was in your mind, and I'm going to, you can brag a little bit. Okay. All right. It's all right. You're here. And what were some of your successes? What are some of the highlight reels that you would say if you're trying to present yourself to somebody, hey, here, this is what I've done. This is why you want to hire me. Talk about whether it was in the radio, print, TV, something else, anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest attribute that I could bring to the table is really being able to be a chameleon and understand the person and get on their level. You know, there's different ways that you need to talk to different people. You know, especially in the advertising world, you're trying to get through to speak to the decision maker, and the gatekeeper is trained, you know, to protect them. And so you've got to be very creative. And I know in TV and radio, especially at the time, and again, this was a couple decades ago when I was super into it, but the saturation was just extreme. So the amount of people that were calling on these businesses was just phenomenal. And if they get an opinion in their head and they associate you with a certain television show or radio program, and they're wrong, you know, they could get the wrong idea about you. And I remember one time there was a client I was going after. It was a mortgage company just outside of Portland, and they just would not meet with me. And I called and I emailed and I walked in, and they just wouldn't even see me. And I knew that I had something that was so valuable to them. I was so confident. And I remember sitting there and the gatekeeper's like, yeah, they don't want to talk to you. And I looked behind her and she had kids that were about my kids' age. And I was like, oh, are those your kids? And we started talking about children. And then I humanized myself. And I said, listen, can you just tell me why they won't talk to me? And she goes, they just don't want to be associated with the programming. And she started naming off shows, and I go, that's the WB. That's not me. And she's like, yeah, I think it's, I don't know what to tell you. I think they're confused. So I went down to Beaverton Bakery, which was an amazing bakery, and bought a cake, and I put Buffy the Vampire Slayer with the big Ghostbuster sign across it. And then I put our programs at the top of the box. And I wasn't even back to the office, and they had called. You know, so just being fearless and walking in and being confident in what you're selling. Every form of media has its purpose, you know, and I would never say to only choose one of them. You know, there's attributes to all of them. It's finding the right customer and the right fit, and being confident in what you're selling. And if you have that behind you, it's just being fearless and creative and trying to bust down those doors. You know, I've sat on the other side of the desk, and I remember thinking, why isn't this marketing director meeting with me? Like, that's your job.
Right.
To meet with me and see what I have to offer. And when you are on the other side of the desk and you're responsible for how you spend someone else's money, that's a very different ballgame. And so understanding where they're coming from and understanding why they have gatekeepers and coming up with something intelligent to say and letting them know you can help their business is really, I think, the key to busting through.
I want to jump ahead a little bit to where you are now. And you are currently putting a magazine together.
That's correct.
And I like, you know, you and I have been visited a couple times by phone, and then you sent me some stuff about, you know, your kind of your core purposes, and that is to get advertising to the right businesses and be kind of a conduit. But the thing that really, outside of the fact that you're talking to me about, you know, wanting to have more personal contact, is you still believe the American dream's alive.
I do.
All right. Why don't we start with that? Because there are many, this state, and as you know, coming from, even though it was a long time ago that you were in Tennessee, I think it's doing better than our state. But why is the American dream still alive?
I heard this from a client just last week, and they said the American dream is not dead. It just doesn't happen instantly. And I think that we've moved into this culture where we want everything right now. When I was little and I wanted to know the answer to a question, I would either have to ask a teacher or an adult or go to the library. I had to look it up, you know, I had to look words up in the dictionary. I had to understand the Dewey Decimal System. You know, I couldn't just Google. Everything wasn't at my fingertips. You know, so I think that that just leads into so much further.
So how's the American dream still going then?
It just doesn't happen instantly. It's hard work. It that has not changed. The American dream is people that have come over and brought it up from nothing. It's not an instantaneous dream.
Yeah. And so what are your challenges as you launch your magazine and are working on it here in a tough area, because Salem is not the most robust city in the world? There's a lot of people that are struggling, businesses. So how do you, you know, get past the gatekeepers of today for you to work and then talk about your magazine?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest issue and the reason I didn't try to launch my own product or form my own business is because there's no cushion. You know, I've always relied on a corporation to float me those few months while I built up my book of business. Not having that cushion is terrifying. And to say that I'm not operating in a place of fear in some respect and having some level of doubt during my week, you know, that's just a part of the journey. I think it's just going to make me tougher. But, you know, taking that leap is something I've committed to. And so when I take a look at launching this and just reaching out and seeing all the positive feedback and people who are adopting the idea of, you know, we need to get people face to face. I want to recommend you. I want to find out who you are, make sure you're a good fit, and recommend you to, you know, I'm working in the Creekside area, Creekside Golf Estates. You know, so for this small community of individuals, I am going to make sure that they're paired up with the right home improvement services and you know, beauty products and all of the products and services that they want, all the great restaurants that they want to go to, all the fun adventures they can go through, you know, throughout Oregon. But then also arrange opportunities to get face to face and look for businesses that want to come up with creative ideas. You know, I've got a personal fitness gal that wants to come out and do water aerobics at the pool and have, you know, time and, you know, personal time and do private training in their homes. And she's has a plethora of fun ideas. So just getting people the opportunity to get involved in a neighborhood, get to know the people to where, you know, oh yeah, Jeff is my guy that manages my finances. You got to talk to Jeff. And I know him because we went on a charter boat fishing trip and we did a golf scramble and I saw him at the mixer. And, you know, building those relationships and building that trust and connecting those clients. I think that.
Name some of the content of your magazine. So if somebody's going to open it up, what's the first page?
That is my favorite thing about this is, you know, I've always had a predominant role in advertising, but I started out in journalism. I started out proofreading the newspaper and doing those things. And I worked in design, but the stories were my favorite. And having the opportunity to talk about the residents and what their background is, hear about their pets. I want to have some stories that of hope. I want to have business stories of the American dream. I want to hear about how you had $10 in your bank account and you were not sure how you were going to make that next step because you had too much business, but you didn't know if you were ready to buy another van. And I want to hear how you got from here to there and how it changed your life and hear stories of that American dream and how it's not dead, because I want to hear stories of overcoming adversity to get where you are, of tackling those things, and I want people to open it up and laugh and cry and be moved and motivated, because I just think that there's a lot of negative in the world. I think people are really focusing on that.
Margo, I think we got to keep this conversation going. Jake, Real Matters, back half of the program after hopefully good news.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Real Matters, fastest hour of my week, and I have times, people, where the time will drag. This is not one of those. No way. With me today, Margo Alexander. Margo, you have been in the entire media world, quite honestly, mm-hmm. for a long time. And we were finishing off last time talking about this your magazine. And so, Margo, how far is your magazine from hitting the stands, if you will? Mm-hmm. Where's it at? And where are you at with it? And how's it? And what's your expectations?
Sure. It's a beautiful product. It's a Stroll Creekside Golf Estates is the name of it. And Stroll is a company that there's, 500 plus of these types of magazines, and then they have other types of publications as well throughout the U.S. But, the opportunity is similar to a franchise where you're a business owner and you get to own this publication and create it the way that you would like. So it looks like it's paced to publish in May. It'll come out to the Creekside neighbors and all of the businesses that are involved, towards the end of May, have a big launch party and get everybody out there. So that should be a good time. It's probably start out around 30 some pages and towards summer be at about 50. Big, beautiful, glossy, heavyweight paper, and that goes to the mailbox of all of those residents. So that's something that they can, we're sure that they're getting, and we know they're going to read it cover to cover because they're providing content. I'm currently looking for some neighbors in the Creekside area that want to be content contributors, and then as well as business owners. I want to have this as a resource for them to let us know what are the design trends. I've got a remodeling company that wants to really focus on living in place and how you can do that in your home. So finding information that isn't necessarily readily available on Google, or maybe the stuff that you're seeing on Google is put out there by someone who may be biased. you can't always believe what you're seeing on the internet. So having this opportunity to share their stories and get to know these business owners and get content from them, I just want it to be heavy and worthwhile. For sure.
Are you having fun with it?
I love it.
How do you compare it to the world you came out of? The big corporate world,
yeah.
Right? A lot of money flowing through TV, radio, and stuff, that mm-hmm. you had, like you said, managing other people's money is serious biz.
Right.
How do you like doing it? You're your own boss now.
I am. And it's really the first time that I can say that. It's very interesting to have an idea and bring it to, you know, from proof of concept to execution without having to convince so many other people, or maybe even make it their idea, if you will, you know, to be able to have that much creative control is really exciting, you know. And knowing things that I've wondered would work, because I have a different brain, and so some of my ideas are big and outrageous. But man, those are the campaigns that have done so well for my clients. So having that creative freedom and getting so excited about writing again, the majority, I love to write, and I just do it for myself. Someday maybe I'll publish a book. I'm going to talk to your sister that was on the show last week when I actually have a book that I could do. But, being able to write stories and share other people's stories, I think that's what's so important about advertising, is being a good storyteller. There's so many individuals that I've seen that have incredible products, but they don't know how to tell their story, and they don't know how to get it out to the people that are able to purchase that or want to purchase that. So the majority of my writing has been copywriting for advertisers, which I still find very exciting. But it's being able to tell that story and get it across to them. And in this avenue, I get to do it both through advertising and then through the written content in the magazine.
I think it's amazing. And so, you're a couple of months away from your first publication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ever dip your toe back into the media world that you came from? Are you still involved at all in that? Because you got to pay bills. I'm not sure how that all works for you.
I still do media consulting, and I always did that with my clients, regardless of which the majority of my career was spent in Marion and Polk County, with a little bit up towards the Portland area. But you know, when I go in and talk to my client, I understand that my product isn't the only thing they need, and I like to know what your media mix is, and I will absolutely give you suggestions. When you are selling and advertising, really selling anything in an area, sometimes you tend to know your competitors and their prices better than your own. You know, I got my rate card to look at, but I got to memorize what these people are doing, and you got to know how to sell against them. So I had several clients that would show me their entire media mix, and I'd say, oh, tell them you want a few more spots here, or tell them that you could, you know, just, I bet you could nudge them on this, because I know, you know. And so I think it's just good to have to still be able to consult with people and, let them know where I fit in the mix. And sometimes I don't fit right now. Maybe it's down the road that I fit, when you get a few more trucks, or, you know, when you are able to expand, or, whatever. So, yeah.
Well, you know, we're dealing in a world that has so many choices. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you are sitting in church on Sunday, the pastor looks over and sees all these people that came and got up and put in their best effort to show up at 10 a.m. Honestly, I mean, I don't want to discount the spirituality involved there, but that actually saying quite a bit, because you go back in time where there were less choices and church was just like an automatic.
Right.
And even because now you can, if you're in football season, well, hey, my favorite game starts at 9. I want to hit the pregame, or a plethora of other options. And in the world that you're in, to be able to say, hey, this is going to set me apart and single me out so that you can benefit from this. Well, I've got this choice and that choice. That's mm-hmm. true. You do. Right. How do you make that argument?
Well, I mean, when you take a look, especially with individuals that are highly targeted in the area, so that's going to be anybody that's more affluent, and let's be real, has the means to purchase something. When you take a look at someone who has a broken window or a fence that broke from a storm, and they need to realistically wait till maybe a tax return comes, mm-hmm. Or until they can, you know, pay this off. You know, it's not something they can immediately do. So individuals that are at a higher income level, are more affluent in the area, the amount of the amount of bombarding that they get on all of their devices constantly is profound. So I think what's important is to be able to make sure that you're really dialed in on your message. You're really making sure that there's a correct fit, and you're doing that with an advertising vehicle that has substance. You know, and again, I think that there is a reason for direct mail of all sorts, coupon clippers, oversized postcards, newspapers. It's sad to see the decline. I think a local voice still needs to be held. Local radio stations, local TV, Comcast, all of that stuff. It is all so valuable. But, you know, what I think some of them are missing is the face-to-face. It's that building that trust, shaking that hand, knowing exactly who it is by name, first name, is handling your finances or fixing your roof or coming into your home to do anything. And then pairing that with something that people want to look at. You know, I mean, how creative can you make your constant digital penetration? I think when you're pairing this with content that people want to read, content that, quite frankly, I think people are just starving for, because we need a good message. We need something that's going to be uplifting. We need something that's going to inspire us, and you know, to be able to put something out on a regular basis. At least in my opinion, I think that makes what I'm doing stand out from the others. You know, but again, you can still take that message, even the message I help you come up with, and spread that everywhere. Keep that brand going. Use that ad. Use it to the, you know, whatever I create. Use your story. Put it on your blog. Let's talk, you know, and then let's talk about your website. Let's talk about pushing that social and connecting all those dots and creating that consistent brand message that goes across everybody, and understanding the media mix of what you're using. And also that lead conversion, what's coming back on the other end. I think a lot of people put feelers out there and they don't understand how branding works. And hey, how did you hear it from us? Oh, I saw you online. Well, they saw your billboard. They saw the magazine ad that you did. They heard that radio spot. But when they went to call you, they looked you up real quick.
Right on. Talking with Margot Alexander, Rural Matters. Back with the final segment in moments.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters, on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, hope your day is glorious, your week has gone well, and you've got some great things to do coming up for the weekend. I'm visiting with Margot Alexander, and Margot, you are launching a magazine out Creekside area, and it's moving along.
Yeah.
Margo, what's it like to come from PD and then walk into Salem? And, you know, you've been all over. You've done the Portland scene. Does it feel good to be a country girl?
It does. You know, there's 1.9 miles of gravel off the highway up the mountain to my home. And there's just this overwhelming sense of peace and safety that happens when I hit that gravel. And I like to come to town, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes to the, even a convenient to the Falls City store or the Kings Valley store, right?
I'm familiar.
And the selection is limited and the prices are a little bit higher. So
yeah, they got to truck it in a little further.
Yeah. So, you know, the options, at least to have a good burger and things like that, is always better over here. I just don't know that I could have a neighbor again. I mean, I've got 80 acres between me and the next person. And the wildlife is just incredible. People come up there, and I had a friend that said, you know, you need to check your carbon monoxide detector, because every time I come here, I just fall asleep. And I'm like, maybe it's just because it's so comfortable here. I do have carbon monoxide
detector. Yeah, that's part of buying a house. You got to have one of those.
Yes, I have them both floors. No, it's just so serene, you know, and I've gotten accustomed to it, but I'll stay at my daughter's house in Portland or my other daughter who lives in Dallas, and I just don't sleep as well. There's something to be said about having a chaotic life or just being in a chaotic world, you know, even in Salem or Monmouth Independence, and then retreating back to that peace. You know, the snow falling up there yesterday was so incredibly beautiful. It's silent. The lack of light pollution and the stars, and genuinely being able to see God's beauty in everything. Just trees all around me. It is incredible. Wouldn't give it up for the world.
Good for you. So, and in that, gives you a chance to think about how you're going to go forward. You know, you're working on your magazine and looking to get that going. How many publishings per year? Is this going to be something that's published every other month? What's the vision for this magazine? You know, starting with May, mm-hmm. and then going forward.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to get it launched, and get the word out. You know, it's a monthly publication, so I'll be producing that content every month. And then I'll probably, I've got a few places that I'm scouting currently to launch a second publication, get a few under my belt. I think this is my opportunity to really connect the dots between advertising and creative and promotions and content and design and all of that. And I feel like it's the next step I need to get into where I can publish a book. I have a profound story, I would say a testimony, if you will, of where my life has gone and the changes that I've made through faith and things like that. Living in the forest, I found a little forest church. It's really changed my life. Can I give him a plug?
Oh yeah, because he's a friend of the program.
Yeah.
Daniel Russell, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, over Pastor Dan, mm-hmm. Petey, absolutely. About as rural as you can get.
It is about as rural, but boy, I'll tell you what, even if you just want to get a good, wholesome sense of community where the spirit just flows out of them, puddles at their feet, and it'll run on anybody that needs it, you know, and that's what I found. It's a really phenomenal group of people, and if you just need a good swell of a wholesome community, I would encourage you 10 o'clock on Sunday to reach out and take a beautiful drive into the country and just, you know, enjoy a Sunday with us. Great people. But, you know, that's been a pivotal point in my story. And I don't think I'm ready to tell my story completely yet because I think I've got some more to learn. I think this journey is going to take me through a lot as well. And, you know, again, being able to, this is the first time in 30 years where I could produce content that had some level of faith in it and hear someone's story of faith. In any previous adventure, I would have advised against that. You want to stay vanilla.
Yeah, okay, I got that. You know, did you grow up in the church as a young child in your family's home, or is this something that just came at you? If you're comfortable,
so
sure.
So Awana's, you know, Vacation Bible School.
Right.
We went to church in you know, Southern Baptist in Tennessee. But I got away from the church in my 20s. And really had no desire to go back.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, some things happen that change people's minds, and I took that and ran with it.
Sure.
And didn't allow myself. But it was literally this Christmas Eve mm-hmm. when some pretty phenomenal things happened to get me into that church.
Understood. Appreciate your transparency at this mm-hmm. level, Margot. I think it's great. All right, we've got a couple of minutes. Talk about how your day is, your work day. What's a typical Margot Alexander day from PD to wherever?
Well,
as you're navigating this world you're in.
Right now, every day is a work day, pretty much other than Sunday. I do try to take that day to you know, do my own thing. But, you know, right now it is ramp up time. It's go time. I've got to spend every waking moment I have working towards this goal. Phone calls and in-person meetings, you know, a few Zoom meetings, but I'm really trying to stay away from that. I think, again, so many people have just been tickled that I'm, oh, you're going to come to my office? Oh, I haven't had a, oh, I better get another chair in here, you know, like... you know, so it's boots on the ground. It's hitting the pavement and going in and making the call and making sure I'm interviewing people correctly and making sure I'm pairing them up with the right things. So every day is full. You know, I've got a little bit of commute off that mountain, like I said, even to get to a gas station. But I try to use that as well with listening to the things that are going to motivate me. You know, I've got a recorder that I use where I can just jot some of my best ideas are when I'm commuting. And so just trying to jot those down. Every day is full. I do miss hanging out with some of my people. But I said, listen, I need everybody to get on board. I sat all four of my kids down. I said, I'm going to be unresponsive for a few months, you know, or slower to respond. It does not mean I don't love you, but if you ever want to go to Hawaii again.
Oh, boy.
Mommy's got to get this going. So, you know, I just every day is going to be work until I make this happen.
All right. So I'm looking at you and I see a sense of excitement. Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the scariest and most exciting thing I've ever done in my career. And I'm not one to not take risks. You know, I'll go from weekly newspaper to, you know, television, network television. I don't care. But this is the most excited. This is the most exciting opportunity I've ever gone into. And I'm sure that's why it does come with so much.
Well, we've got just a little over a minute. Margo, you do still have connections, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Go-tos, run things by people. Do you do that a little bit still? Mm-hmm. Or do they call you?
I have some tried and true folks that I've done business with. But again, you know, this is a specific neighborhood and making sure it's the right fit. You know, calling on my people. It's nice to work in a community where you've been a salesperson for 30 years and people will talk to you, at least hear what you have to say about whatever it is you're selling. So this is a little different concept, but there's not a lack of incredible businesses around the Salem.
Well, that you just kind of picked my next question. You still see there's a future out here.
Oh, huge.
Wonderful.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're excited about that. And you're going to
absolutely.
You're going to take advantage of that and help them as they help you.
Yeah.
Excited for when your publication comes out. Are you?
I'll bring you one.
Yeah. Yes, you are. You will do that. I honestly wish you tremendous success in this.
Thank you.
Refreshing story there, Margo. And certainly the year is young, even though it's flying. May we be here before you know it. Margo Alexander, what's the magazine again?
Stroll Creekside Golf Estates.
And this is Rural Matters with Jake. See you guys next week.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening. Mm-hmm.